A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
You know that sound. You packed everything perfectly. Tetris hit the boxes, double wrapped the glasses, paid for the premium insurance, and then the movers set down the kitchen box, and you hear it. That ceramic crunch. You open the flap, and your plates look like a jigsaw puzzle designed by someone who hates you.
I've been there. You stand in the doorway of a new apartment, surrounded by boxes, holding a shard of what used to be your favorite mug, and you just think, there has to be a better way.
Which is exactly what Daniel sent us this time. He's been thinking about the post-move debrief, that moment where you catalog everything that went wrong and figure out how to prevent it next time. And he keeps circling back to one category that fails more than almost anything else, the stuff you eat off of. Plates, bowls, mugs, the things that shatter even when you've done everything right.
He's asking a really specific question here. Not what's durable or what's chip-resistant. He wants to know if there's such a thing as genuinely unbreakable kitchenware. Plates you could toss loose in a box with zero bubble wrap and still pull out intact on the other end. Is that a real product category, or is it just marketing copy?
Because break-resistant gets thrown around a lot, but Daniel's been through enough moves to know that resistant and proof are very different promises when a moving crew is involved.
He's also asking the practical follow-up. If this stuff exists, what's it made of, what does it cost, and can your average veteran renter actually build a small kit of it? Something that survives move after move after move.
Let's define what we're actually looking for, because unbreakable turns out to be a surprisingly slippery word in the kitchenware world.
When Daniel says unbreakable, he's not talking about a thick stoneware plate that'll survive a bump against the counter. He's talking about something you could drop from counter height onto a tile floor and have it bounce. Not crack, not chip, bounce.
Which immediately narrows the field. You're not looking at ceramic of any kind. You're not looking at porcelain. You're not even looking at most of what gets labeled tempered glass at the department store. You're looking at three materials, and only three, that actually compete in this space.
Tempered glass. Specifically, Corel's Vitrile, which is its own weird animal. Melamine resin, which is what camping dinnerware is made of. And stainless steel, which is the nuclear option. Each one solves the breakage problem, and each one introduces a different sacrifice.
That's really the core tension here. Every material that survives a drop gives up something in return. Microwave compatibility, or how it feels in your hand, or whether it scratches, or whether it looks like you're eating off a tray in a prison cafeteria.
Which one of those trade-offs you can live with is going to determine which material you pick. But the good news is, the answer to Daniel's first question, does truly shatterproof kitchenware exist, is yes. It absolutely does. You just have to know what you're buying and what you're giving up.
Let's walk through the contenders, because the most famous name in this space is Corel, and the reason it works is interesting materials science, not marketing fluff.
Let's get precise about what unbreakable actually means in a kitchen, because the word gets abused constantly in product copy. A stoneware plate that survives a 4-inch drop onto a wooden counter is not unbreakable. What Daniel's asking about, and what actually matters for moving, is something that survives a 3-foot drop onto concrete, or being stacked loose in a box that gets jostled for 6 hours in a truck.
The moving crew stress test, which is a real thing. I've watched movers handle boxes labeled fragile, with the same delicacy they'd give a bag of cement.
That's the standard we're applying here. Not will this survive gentle home use, but will this survive being packed by someone who doesn't care about your plates?
Why hasn't this problem been solved more thoroughly? I mean, we put people on the moon. We built phones that survive underwater. Why is plate that doesn't shatter when dropped still a niche category?
Because the physics of dinnerware is tricky. A plate has to do several contradictory things at once. It needs to be hard enough not to scratch when you cut steak on it, but not so brittle that it shatters on impact. It needs to survive thermal cycling, hot food, cold food, dishwasher, microwave, without cracking or warping. It needs to be food safe, which eliminates a lot of high impact plastics. and it needs to cost less than, say, $20 a plate, or nobody will buy it.
You're balancing impact resistance against thermal tolerance, against food safety, against cost, and every material that nails one or two of those fails on the others.
Which is why the field narrows to three materials, and only three, that even attempt to solve all of those constraints at once. You've got Corel's Vitrel, which, by the way, is not tempered glass in the Pyrex sense. It's a laminated three-layer glass composite, and we'll get into why that matters. You've got melamine resin, a thermoset plastic that's been the standard for camping dinnerware for decades. And you've got stainless steel, for people who have decided they are simply done with things breaking, full stop, consequences be damned.
Each one makes a different sacrifice. Corel is microwave safe and dishwasher safe, but it can still break under the right kind of impact. Melamine is effectively unbreakable in normal use, but you can't microwave it, and most of it can't go in the dishwasher. Stainless steel is indestructible. You could literally run it over with a truck, but it's loud. It conducts heat straight into your hands, and it looks like you're eating off a surgical tray.
Which is a look some people embrace. But the point is, there's no free lunch here. If you want shatterproof, you're going to give up something. The question Daniel's really asking is, which of these trade-offs is least painful for someone who moves every year or two?
That's what we're going to map out. Because the answer depends on whether you microwave leftovers, whether you hand wash or machine wash, and honestly, how much you care about whether your dinner plate looks like it belongs in a home kitchen versus a mess hall.
The most famous contender in this space is Corel, and the reason it works is interesting material science. Most people assume Corel is just a thinner version of tempered glass, like what Pyrex used to be made of. It's not. It's a completely different animal called Vitrel, and the way it's constructed is what gives it that almost magical bounce when you drop it.
What's actually happening inside the plate?
Vitrel is a laminated three-layer glass composite. You've got two outer layers of a specific borosilicate-type glass, and sandwiched between them is a core layer of a different glass formulation with a different thermal expansion rate. When the whole thing cools during manufacturing, the outer layers and the inner core contract at different speeds, and that mismatch creates what's called compressive stress in the outer layers.
The outside of the plate is essentially being squeezed by the inside.
That's exactly the right way to think about it. The outer surface is under constant compression, and that compression acts like a preloaded spring. When you drop the plate, the impact has to overcome that compressive force before it can even start to pull the glass apart. It's the same principle behind the Prince Rupert's drop, that teardrop-shaped glass thing where you can hammer the bulb end and it won't break, but snap the tail and the whole thing explodes.
The plate is essentially armored by its own internal tension. That's elegant.
The numbers back it up. Vitrel is about 3 to 4 times more impact resistant than standard tempered glass of the same thickness. A Corel dinner plate weighs roughly 225 grams. A standard ceramic dinner plate is typically 400 to 500 grams, so you're getting dramatically better shatter resistance at roughly half the weight.
Which is its own kind of moving superpower. A full set of Corel in a box weighs about as much as 4 ceramic plates. Your movers might actually appreciate that.
Here's the crucial thing Daniel needs to hear, and this is where the marketing gets slippery. Corel does not claim to be unbreakable. They use the phrase break resistant very deliberately. And there are specific failure modes where Vitrel will absolutely shatter. Point impact is the big one. Dropping a plate flat onto a tile floor, it'll usually survive. Dropping a cast iron skillet onto it from 6 inches up, corner. First, that's a very different story. The compressive stress protects against broad impact, but a concentrated point load can punch right through. The other failure pattern is extreme thermal shock. Taking a plate straight from the freezer and putting it directly into a preheated oven, or pouring boiling water onto a plate that's been sitting in ice. That differential expansion can overwhelm the laminate structure.
Don't use it as a trivet for a hot pan. And don't do science experiments with it.
Normal kitchen use. Microwave, dishwasher, hot food, cold food, none of that will phase it. But there's a reason the warning label exists.
What actually happens when it does fail? Because I've seen ceramic plates explode into dagger shards. Is Vitrel different?
It is. And this is actually a safety feature baked into the design. When Vitrel breaks, it doesn't produce long, sharp shards the way ceramic or standard glass does. It shatters into small, relatively blunt, cube-like pieces. You'd still cut yourself if you grabbed a handful of them, but you're not going to get the kind of deep laceration that sends you to the emergency room. It's a controlled failure pattern.
Still a total loss of the plate, though. You're not gluing that back together.
No. When Corel goes, it goes spectacularly. It doesn't chip, it detonates. But the point is, for the vast majority of moving scenarios, it won't. A plate wrapped in a dish towel and stacked in a box that gets jostled around for 6 hours? That's well within its tolerance.
Then there's the other side of the trade-off, the one that has nothing to do with durability. You pick up a Corel plate, and it feels almost like a toy.
That's the most common complaint, and it's fair. At 225 grams, a Corelli dinner plate is about half the weight people expect. It doesn't have that satisfying heft of stoneware. Some people find it feels cheap, even though the material science behind it is more sophisticated than any ceramic plate on the market.
The Winter Frost White pattern, in particular, their most basic, cheapest option at about $3 to $4 a plate. It's aggressively plain. It looks like something you'd find in a hospital cafeteria.
Here's what's interesting about that. The Winter Frost White is the exact same Vitrell material as their patterned lines that cost twice as much. You're not paying extra for better durability. You're paying for decoration. The glass laminate is identical across the entire Corel range. So if you're building a moving kit and you don't care about aesthetics, buying the plain white is the same material science at the lowest price point.
Being plain white means if you do eventually break one, you can replace it piece by piece without worrying about whether the pattern's been discontinued.
Which brings us to the compatibility advantages that neither of the other materials can match. Corel is fully microwave safe and fully dishwasher safe. Melamine cannot go in the microwave at all. The resin breaks down and leaches chemicals into your food. And most stainless steel isn't microwave compatible either, for obvious reasons involving sparks and fire.
Corel is essentially the option that asks the fewest lifestyle changes. You can keep using your microwave, keep using your dishwasher, keep eating off something that looks vaguely like a normal plate. The sacrifice is that it's not truly unbreakable. It's just break-resistant enough that for 99% of moves, you'll open the box and everything will be intact.
Corel isn't the only game in town. Melamine solves the breakage problem differently. Melamine resin is a thermoset plastic. Once it's cured, it doesn't melt, and it's effectively unbreakable under normal kitchen use. Drop a melamine plate from counter height onto tile and it'll just clatter. No crack, no chip, no drama.
The camping dinnerware that looks like ceramic but weighs nothing. That's melamine.
GSI Outdoors, for example, makes a line called Bugaboo. Melamine plates, bowls, mugs, designed to survive being tossed into a backpack and banged around a campsite. For moving purposes, you could literally stack them loose in a box and they'd come out fine.
What's the catch?
Two big ones. First, melamine is not microwave safe. When melamine resin gets heated above about 160 degrees Fahrenheit, it can start breaking down and leaching melamine and formaldehyde into your food. So if you're someone who reheats leftovers in the microwave on the plate you're going to eat from, melamine is a non-starter.
The second catch?
Most melamine dinnerware is not dishwasher safe. The high heat and aggressive detergents degrade the resin over time. You'll get surface crazing, dulling, and eventually the material becomes more brittle. Some manufacturers claim their melamine is dishwasher safe, but even then, it's usually top rack only, and the lifespan still shortens. If you want melamine to last, you're hand washing it.
You're trading break resistance for maintenance overhead. No microwave, and you're standing at the sink after every meal.
Which for some people is totally fine. If you don't own a microwave, or you always reheat in a separate container, and you don't mind hand washing four plates and four bowls, melamine is an excellent option. It's lighter than Corelli, it's quieter than stainless steel, and it comes in patterns and colors that actually look decent.
Then there's the third option. The one for people who have broken one too many plates and have decided they are simply done.
This is the nuclear option. You can run it over with a truck. You can drop it off a balcony. It will not break, crack, chip, or shatter. It is the only material in this conversation that deserves the word indestructible without an asterisk.
You're eating off what looks like a surgical tray, and it sounds like one too.
The noise is the biggest complaint. A fork on a stainless steel plate is loud in a way that ceramic and glass never are. And because steel conducts heat so efficiently, if you put hot food on it, the rim of the plate gets hot enough to burn your lips. You learn to hold it differently, but there's a learning curve. You put stainless steel in a microwave, and you're going to have a very exciting few seconds followed by a very awkward conversation with your landlord.
Let's talk money, because Daniel asked about cost. What's the actual damage for building a small kit?
Let's price out a moving kit. 4 dinner plates, 4 bowls, 4 mugs, and 4 small plates. For Corel, the Winter Frost White line runs about $3 to $4 a dinner plate, bowls about the same, mugs maybe $4 to $5. You're looking at $40 to $60 total for a 16-piece kit. For Melamine, something like the GSI Bugaboo line, plates run $5 to $8 each, bowls and mugs similar. That puts you at $60 to $80 for the same kit. Stainless steel from a restaurant supply store runs $8 to $15 per plate, so you're at $80 to $120 total.
The lifespan math is different too. Stainless steel is forever. Your grandkids could eat off it. Corel and melamine have finite lives.
Corel will eventually break if you drop it wrong enough times, though we're talking years of normal use. Melamine will eventually craze and degrade, especially if you're machine washing against the manufacturer's advice. Stainless steel just, it's the cockroach of dinnerware.
Which brings us to the aesthetic question, and I think this is where a lot of people get stuck. None of these look like the ceramic plates your grandmother had. You're making a choice between peace of mind and presentation.
That's the real decision Daniel's asking people to make. Are you willing to eat off something that looks like camping gear, or a hospital tray, or a restaurant supply item, in exchange for never opening a moving box full of shards again? There's no wrong answer, but you have to be honest with yourself about which trade-off you'll actually tolerate day to day. After all that, what should you actually buy? Let me give you a concrete recommendation based on your moving frequency and kitchen habits.
I want to hear this, because I've been sitting here mentally building my own kit, and I think I know where you're going to land.
For most veteran movers, people who are doing this every year or two, Corelli is the best overall option. It's microwave safe, it's dishwasher safe, it's lightweight enough that a full box doesn't require a team of oxen, and the break resistance is good enough for 99% of moving scenarios. The only thing that kills it is point impact from something heavy and sharp, or thermal shock, that you'd have to be actively trying to create.
The cast iron skillet test. Don't drop one on your Corelli. But short of that, you're probably fine.
Short of that, you're fine. And the lifestyle compatibility is the real selling point. You don't have to change how you eat, how you reheat, or how you clean. You just swap out your ceramic for something that weighs half as much and survives a 3-foot drop onto concrete.
The aesthetic compromise. The hospital cafeteria look. That's just something you make peace with. Or you pay a few dollars more for a pattern that makes you feel better about it.
Now, melamine is the right call for a specific kind of person. If you never microwave leftovers, maybe you're a stovetop reheater, maybe you eat everything cold, maybe you don't own a microwave, and you're willing to hand wash your dishes, melamine is fantastic. It's lighter than Corelli, it's unbreakable in any normal kitchen scenario, and it comes in designs that actually look like real dinnerware.
The maintenance overhead is real. You're standing at the sink after every meal, and you're thinking about what you can and can't put on the plate every time you heat something up.
For a lot of people, the mental load of remembering this plate can't go in the microwave is worse than the physical load of hand washing. You have guests over, they don't know the rules, suddenly someone's reheating pizza on melamine and you're having an awkward conversation about formaldehyde.
Which leaves stainless steel, and I think the use case here is pretty narrow.
Stainless steel is for extreme scenarios. Van life, where your plates are literally rattling around in a moving vehicle all day. Off-grid living, where durability is the only consideration and you're probably not microwaving anything anyway. Or, and this is a real category, people who have tried Corel and broken it. People who have dropped a cast iron pan on their plate or had a mover do something inexplicable and they've decided they want the nuclear option.
The I am done with things breaking option.
If you've been burned, literally or figuratively, and you just want the problem to go away forever, stainless steel is the answer. You'll learn to hold the plate by the cool spots, you'll get used to the noise. And you'll never, ever open a moving box full of shards again.
The purchasing advice. You mentioned Winter Frost White. Walk me through the specific buy.
Here's the thing about Corel that most people don't realize until they've owned it for a few years. The plain white, no pattern, cheapest option, Winter Frost White, is the exact same Vitrell material as the fancier patterns. You're paying for the material science, not the decoration. And solid white has a hidden superpower. It's always in production. Corel has been making Winter Frost White for decades, and they're not going to stop. If you buy a pattern set and break a plate 5 years from now, there's a real chance that pattern has been discontinued and you're hunting for replacements on eBay.
Whereas white is white. You can walk into any Walmart and buy a replacement plate for $3.
So my specific recommendation, buy the cheapest solid white Corel set you can find. A 16-piece set, 4 dinner plates, 4 salad plates, 4 bowls, 4 mugs, runs about $40 to $50 at any big box retailer. That's your moving core. It lives in your kitchen, it survives your moves, and if one piece eventually breaks, you replace it for pocket change.
If you want melamine instead,
GSI Outdoors Bugaboo line. It's widely available, the quality is consistent, and it's designed for exactly this kind of abuse. But remember, no microwave, hand wash, only if you want it to last.
For the stainless steel people?
Restaurant Supply Store. Don't buy the fancy camping stainless steel sets from outdoor retailers. They're the same product with a markup. Go to a place that sells to actual restaurants, and you'll find plates for $8 to $12 each. Winco and Thunder Group are the brands to look for.
There's one more thing I want to add, and it applies regardless of which material you pick. Buy one extra of everything and keep it in a separate box. Your move first box, the one you open before anything else at the new place.
That's such a good point, and I've never heard anyone say it.
Because the single most common failure isn't breakage, it's loss. A plate goes missing mid-move, it falls out of the box, it gets left behind, it vanishes into the dimensional rift that opens during every relocation. And now you have 3 dinner plates instead of 4, and you're eating in shifts or buying a mismatched replacement.
If you bought Winter Frost White, that replacement is trivial. But even if you didn't, having the spare already in your possession means you don't have to scramble. You open the move first box, you've got 4 of everything, and you deal with the missing plate on your own timeline.
The move first box is its own whole strategy, but for kitchenware specifically, the spare set is cheap insurance. It's maybe $15 extra for Corel, and it saves you from that moment where you're standing in a new kitchen, exhausted, holding 3 plates and wondering where the 4th one went.
The deeper point here isn't really about plates. It's about systematically removing failure points from a process you know you're going to repeat. Every move has a dozen moments where something breaks, something gets lost, something goes sideways. And each one of those moments costs you energy you could have spent on the stuff that actually matters.
Like figuring out where the nearest decent coffee is, or whether your new landlord is going to be reasonable about the leaky faucet, or how you're going to build some kind of community before the next move uproots you again.
The kitchenware question seems small, but it's one of those things that compounds. You open the box, the plates are intact, you eat dinner on real plates the first night instead of off paper towels, that's a win. And in a process that's full of friction, stacking wins matters.
Which makes me wonder, what else in the average home could be ruggedized like this? We've figured out plates. What about furniture? The IKEA stuff that disintegrates after 2 assemblies. Is there a category of flat pack furniture designed specifically to survive being taken apart and rebuilt 5 times?
Monitors and TVs are the other thing that show up cracked even when you've packed them properly. Are there monitor cases or travel displays that are actually built for this lifestyle?
Lamps are the unsung casualty of every move. You wrap the base, you think you've secured the shade, and somehow the harp is bent at a 45-degree angle when you unpack it.
There might actually be a market here that nobody's fully serving. Moving-proof home goods. Not camping gear, not disposable stuff, but things designed from the ground up for people who relocate every year or two. The material science exists. The question is whether the demand is visible enough for manufacturers to bother.
Daniel's basically doing the R&D himself, one prompt at a time.
And if anyone listening has found an unbreakable plate or mug that we didn't cover, something that survived your last 3 moves and still looks decent, email the show. We'll test it, we'll report back, and we'll add it to the canon.
By tested, I assume you mean drop it off the balcony.
Scientific method demands repeatable results.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
Early Islamic cartographers in the 9th century produced remarkably accurate maps of the Gobi Desert's oasis routes, but the entire corpus was lost when the Mongol siege of Baghdad in 1258 destroyed the libraries where they were stored. The only surviving reference is a single footnote in a 14th century Persian geography text.
The whole thing reduced to a footnote. The goal here was never to find perfect kitchenware. It was to remove one more source of friction from a process that already asks too much of you. If you can open a box at your next apartment and pull out 4 intact plates, 4 bowls, 4 mugs, that's one small victory. And in a rental market that doesn't give you many, you take the ones you can get.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for the fun fact and the existential dread. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps more people find the show.
If you've got a shatterproof plate recommendation or a prompt for a future episode, email us at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everything.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.